We began on Yom Shlishi a topic, a very fundamental topic in the Meleches Shabbos and in its comparison to Nezikin, and that is the concept of Grama. When you use the forces of nature or other powers in order to achieve your goal, like for example in the case of machinery, if you activate the machinery and it does the Harisha, the Zriya, or perhaps the Binyan in Meleches Boneh, and the same is true back in the time of Chazal with regard, they didn't have machines but they had animals, and the animals are doing their work. So the question is, if a person would, for example, turn on an engine in a machine, an excavator, we mentioned a bulldozer, and it does the construction, did he violate Meleches Shabbos? So after a long discussion that we had, we came to the conclusion that the Gemara, the Sugya on Daf Kuf Chaf, establishes that Grama is Mutar on Shabbos. And the only exception that we had, which we saw in the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha both, is number one, Tzedah, and number two, Zoreh, Meleches Zoreh. In the case of Tzedah, we have a Rambam that says that you can be chayef at tzedah al yidei shiluach klovim, and the kelev actually does the tzedah at the end of the day. Again, we still have an issue with the Rambam. We'll come back to that in just a minute. And the Mishnah Berurah says shekein derech hatzayodim, and he compares it to Meleches Zoreh, meaning that there are certain exceptions to this rule. The rule is that grum is potter. But there are some malachas, we only know of two, and that is Tzedah and the perhaps paradigm is Zoreh, where you can utilize the forces of nature. In the case of Zoreh, you utilize the Ruach, and your Chayef. In the case of Tzedah, you utilize the force of nature, in this case the animal, and your Chayef at Tzedah. And that's because, as the Mishnah Berurah says, Kach Derech Hatzayodim, and so too Zoreh is done with the Ruach. That's what winnowing is, by definition. The exception to the rules are twofold, but those two malachas are exceptions rather than the rule. The rule is in general, you know, to say, for example, that as the Eben HaOzer wanted to suggest, that you could be chayef from Meleches Chovel by using an animal, in this case a leech, a luka, and he puts it on the body of the animal and he sucks out the blood. The Chazon Ish says that you can't derive from the Zikin that you'd be chayv in Shabbos. In the Zikin, the halacha is that Maimid Behema Al Gabi Komas Chavero is chayv. And the Eben HaOzer wanted to derive from that with the Kal Vachomer, how much more so on Shabbos, instead of being Maimid Behema Al Komas Chavero. He was Mamid Behema al Or Shel Behema v'Motzitza Etzadam, and he's Chayef from Meleches Chovel. So the Chazon Ish rejects this Kal Vachomer. It's not a fair Kal Vachomer, because Meleches Chovel is a classical Melacha, like Meleches Kibui, where the Gemara establishes a Meleches Kibui on Daf Kuf Chaf Amid Beis, that if you set up a system that ultimately leads to Kibui, but it was indirect, it was al yidei groma, your potter gram kibui is potter, and that's how the Mechaber Paskins in Simon Shin Lamed Dalet Sif Chav Beis, that if he sets up these chavios in such a way that when the fire gets close, they'll break open and the water will extinguish the fire, that's mutar on Shabbos. And the Bir Halacha adds a very important sentence, v'kachu b'sharam halacha. So Chovel, says the Chazon Ish, is Shar Malachas. It's not like Tzedah and Zoreh, where the essence and the Tzura of the Malacha involves using the forces of nature, and therefore to use an animal for Meleches Chovel is not Chayef. I in Ezekiel you be Chayef for Mamid Behema Al Komas Chavero. That's a din in Ezekiel, but it's not a din in Shabbos. In Shabbos, Grom is part of the Torah, says Lo Sasa Kol Malacha. We need Asiyah, and nothing less then Asiyah will do.
Rabbi, what about Tzad? You said Tzad is one of the exceptions, but it's done, as far as I know, at least in America they do that, comes Sukkot time, and the bees are all over the place, and you put those bee traps up.
So we're going to talk about trapping today. The question is, would trapping be groma? And even if I grant you the trapping might be groma, is there a possibility that you'd be chayav for that on Shabbos simply because that's the derech hamelacha?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so we'll get to that. But first, I want to point out that in the context of the Rambam that we've been studying here, Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Beis, let's just take a look again. There's something here that bothers our minds. The Rambam says that what's the whole story? Mishalech klovim kedei sheyatzidu tzvayim, etc. And then he says that who rode fachar tzvi v'omed b'fanav v'hilo ad shegia hakelev v'tofso. So the question we want to raise here is, why did the Rambam need this arichas dvarim and tell us about the fact that he's standing there and he's blocking the freedom, the path of the tzvi, and he scares the tzvi until finally the kelev can grab him? I mean, it's always going to be grum. If the Rambam wants to be mechadish to us, that as the Mishnah Berurah calls it, kach derech tzeda tzayodim, is that you can be mechayev because of the tzeda, the klovim, even though it's a grumma. Well, at the end of the day, even if he stands there and he scares the animal or blocks its route of freedom, it's still going to be grumma. So why does the Rambam require this active participation of the person? That extra requirement of the Rambam, that condition, it baffles the mind. Because again, mimanafshah, either you chayev for grumma and then we can drop the guy at all, he just sends out the kelev, and that's enough to mechayev him, or he's not chayev for grumma, and therefore, even if he stands there and he scares the animal, the kelev at the end of the day grabbed it on the animal, and therefore it still remains grumma. So the answer is that grum is chayav in seder. So grum is chayav in seder. Why do I need this extra piece of the puzzle that he is participating as a partner, so to speak, in meleches seder? So that's one question that we want to ask. And on the Mar Makomos page, if you got a copy of it, I said that it still baffles the mind. Why does he himself have to actively participate in the seder? Okay. The last thing I want to reiterate from Yom Shlishi is the Ramban. The Chazon Ish quotes the Ramban to try to explain and differentiate between, on the one hand, Charish al Yidei Behema, where you chayev for Meleches Charisha, and number two, the case of Machamer Achar Behemto, where he pushes the animal to carry a burden and the animal carries it from one Rishus to the other, and he's not chayev. That's not a Meleches Shabbos. Again, it's Aser B'Torah Shvisas Behemto, and Machamer is call it an Iser essay on Shabbos, but it's not a Melacha because it's the animal that's carrying the burden and not you. But what's the difference between causing the animal to plow, where you're chayev for Meleches Charisha, as opposed to causing the animal to carry the burden, where you're not chayev for Meleches Hotso, because it's the animal that carries it? And again, you and I might have come up with any number of answers. We might have said, for example, that maybe Charisha is different because that's the derech or the tzur of Charisha. You know, you can plow in one of two classical ways. Either you as a human being, you're holding on to the plow and rake and digging into the ground, or maybe you let the animal do that. But that's not the approach of the Chazon Ish. The approach of the Chazon Ish is much more, in a sense, fundamental, at least for our discussion, for our purposes, because he really gets into the question of what is grumma and what is not grumma. Meaning, when do we have the right to say, this is our question for today, that I am utilizing the forces of nature to achieve my maisa, and when do we say, no, I'm just activating the animal, and the animal is doing it on its own, so I just play a secondary role, but if you ask me who did the maisa, it's the animal that did the maisa. And the Chazon Ish establishes the following, that in the case of Charisha al Yidei Behemto, he is actively causing the animal to plow in a way that, again, the Chazon Ish uses a very kind of an extreme terminology. He says it's kikli biyada yotzer. It's like he's holding on to the, you know, to the knife or to the spear. You know, that's considered his vaisa. But in the case of the machamer, there he's only ma'orer as a behema, but the animal's halicha is its own halicha. Now, before we get to analyze this distinction of the Chazon Ish and see what he means, if we can, possibly, and based on this Ramban that he quotes, we can ask the following question, and this is really the Chazon Ish's question. Why is it in the Zikin that Maimid Behema Al Komas Chavero is Chayev? In other words, I have to pay Tashlume in the Zikin if I place my animal on your Koma and it eats up your Koma. And yet, in the case of Shabbos, we have a case of Maimid as a Behema Al Asovim. He places his animal on the grass, and the animal eats the grass, which is Melechas Kotzer, Tolesh. He's not Chayev for the Melech. So what's the difference between the two? Now, we saw that the Mishnah Brura holds that in the case of Tzeda Yischaev Mishum Shekach Derech HaTzayodim, and if we apply that to the, you know, that principle, which means that as a general rule, the animal it does the action, does the malach, it captures, and it should be grown in Ezekiel Potter, but kach derech hatzayodim b'kach. In the case of ktsira, we don't usually do ktsira al yidei behema, right? That's not the way you cut and harvest your crop. So now he's harvesting his crop by using the animal to pull out the asavim. And the question is that groma? If it is groma, then he should be potter in Shabbos, because here we can't say kach darka shemalechas ktsira. Again, we have two exceptions, two malachas where we say kach darka, but the universal rule in malachas is going to be gromav in Ezek, gromav in Shabbos is mutter, and therefore mamid behema, even though he's doing ktsira through the animal, that's called groma. Why then, you'll ask me, is he chayav in nezikin? So lechora, the only way we can understand this is to say that in the Zikin we have certain principles that operate that upgrade your status from that of a goreim to that of a mazik. But those mechanisms are what we call legal mechanisms. So al pi din, for example, we have a principle called Isha Mishum Chitzov. So it means that when I light a fire, all the burning that the fire burns is considered my chetz. It's like my action. That's already Kikli Biyada Yotze. And I'm chayef for that and I have to pay you Tashlum in Ezekiel. So too, in the case of Maimid Behemas, Behemto Al Kamas Chavero, we apply the principle of Isha Mishum Chitzov. In this case, it's not the Eish, but it's the animal. And when the animal eats the koma of his friend, it's considered al pi din as if the animal was the kli v'yada yotzer, and it's as if he himself was doing the action. He's chayav mishum adam amazik. As I state in Rashba over there, daf nun vav. But that only works in the Zikin, because in the Zikin we can set up something called a halachic maisa. In other words, if we're asking whether this action that took place relates to the person, if it's miyuchas elav, so we have a mechanism called isha mishum chitzav. And even though he didn't actually do the action, it's considered like he did the action. But in Shabbos, we don't have such a mechanism. In Shabbos, grub of a Shabbos is mutter, because unless you did the action befoal, not Al-Pi-Din, the mechanics of the Al-Pi-Din is not going to help you for Chiyuv Shabbos. In Shabbos it says L'man Yanuach, he's got to be in the state of Menucha, and the opposite of a state of Menucha is Lo Taseh Kol Malacha. And here, although the Maisa relates to you, but it's not considered a Maisa Befal, it's a Maisa Al-Pi-Din, that's enough in Ezekiel, but not enough for Shabbos. So, for example, there's a famous kasha in the Nebuki Yosef. Everybody knows this kasha. We learned it when we were in high school. You know, the Nebuki Yosef says, if you only show me shum chitzav, how can you light a candle? Light a fire on Erev Shabbos, is the fire continues to light on Shabbos, and it's isha mishum chitzav. You know, it's your continuously the power behind the Havara here. And the Havara is like your chetz.
That's why you get the mitzvah.
Right. So on the kashi, instead of getting a mitzvah five malachas in Shabbos, you should be chayv mishum Havara, one of the malachas in Shabbos. So they all answer this famous in the name of the Nod Yehuda, but I think anyone in the Achronim gives this answer that on Shabbos, Isho Mishum Chitzav is not enough to constitute a violation of Melech HaShabbos. You need the Maisa Befal, the Torah says Lo Tasu. And if you're in a state of Menucha, if your body is resting, then you're not violating Shabbos. So I can light my candle on Erev Shabbos, it's going to burn on Shabbos. I'd be chayiv in the Zikin because of Isho Mishum Chitzav, but I'm not chayiv on Shabbos because I'm not actually befal burning something on Shabbos. I'm in a state of Menucha, L'man Yanuach. So therefore, getting back to the Chazon Ish's distinction, why is that Ma'amid Behemal Kovas Chaver is chayiv in the Zikin, Tashlum in the Zikin, but on Shabbos he's potter, and Shabbos he's chayiv from Lechus Kotze? The answer is that the Zikin has this extra element of a chumrah, and that is Isho Mishum Chitzav. And now the behemoth's action is considered kekli biyada yotzer. And that can work in the case of Nezik. But in the case of Shabbos, here we said you need what? The Maisa Befal. The Maisa Befal is not achieved, is not clinched through the principle and mechanics of Isho Mishum Chitzav. And therefore, I'm not chayv from Meleches Ktsira if I set up the animal on the koma, and the animal eats the koma. And that's not considered my Maisa Ktsira, because I'm in a state of Menucha. You can say halachically it's like my Maisa, it's Adam HaMazik, the Rashba says, but that's only in Nezikin. Adam HaMazik ben Nezikin, but not for Meleches Shabbos. So now we understand a few things. We begin to understand why it is that as a universal rule, malachas like chovel or like kotzer, if they're achieved through the animal, you're potur, even though in Ezekiel you might be chayav, right? So he takes the aluka and he puts it on top of the skin and it sucks the blood, and that's malachas chovel. But even though he would be chayav in Ezekiel for such a case because of Isho Mishum Chitzov, but nevertheless in Shabbos he'd be potur because he's not doing the mice of chavol befoal, and we don't have the right to say kach derech chavola b'kach, and so too meleches ktsira, even though he's setting up the animal on the asovin, the animal's pulling out the asovin, that's not derech ktsira, and therefore we're going to apply the principle of groma potter. And groma potter in Shabbos means that if you're not actively implementing the action, it's not a violation of lotasa, on the contrary, it's l'man yanuach, then you're not chayv. In Ezekiel, we have a way of saying that we can expand within the definitions of halacha what's considered your maisa, matay amaseh yuchasei lecha, and here we can activate the mechanics of Isho Mishum Chitzav, it's your maisa, and therefore your chayv. But in Shabbos, we don't have a right to do that, and adarava, the Ezekiel is l'chumra, and Shabbos is l'kula. The flip side is that we can have a chumra in Shabbos in the case of groma, but only in two malachas. And that was the case of Zoreh and the case of Tzedah, because there it's Darko, Shel HaMalacha B'kach, it's the Tzuras HaMalacha, and the Chai Gavna, if you had a parallel case in Ezekiel, you'd be Potter. And what's the parallel case in Ezekiel to Zoreh? The Gemara Bava Kama Daf Samuch says that Liba of the lips are Ruach Potter in Ezekiel, so he blew it, but he needed the wind, even a normal wind, Ruach Mitzuyah, in order to fan the flames and make it into a dangerous age. In such a case, he's potter nizik. Why? Because that's called grom nizik and potter. In that exact case in Shabbos, which is called Melech HaZoreh, where he utilizes the ruach, he's chayv. That's the darker shel Melech HaZoreh. So, for example, we have a Gemara in Shabbos. I'm sorry, we have a Gemara in Bava Kama about Meshaseh Sakelev. And what's Meshaseh Sakelev? He tells the Kelev to go Sigum, right? And there, the Gemara says he's potter. Why? Because that's only called Grom and Ezekiel. That case would be similar to what the Ramban calls Mechamer, where he's Ma'orer Es HaBehema. The animal actively bites and attacks a person, and therefore you're only Chai B'Torah's grama benesikin, midei shalayim, but you're not chayv b'dini yodah because grama benesikin potter. And that's the principle called Meshasa es hakel. So that, if you'll take a look, I wrote here in the Mar Makomos for today, number 3, Ayin Babakamach of Gimel Amid Beis, Bidin Meshasa Kalbo Bechavero. And there the Gemara says that you are potter. So now I want to ask the following question. In Meleches Charish al Yedei Behema, the Ramban says that the reason why you're chayev is because it's kikli biyad hayotze. So Charish al Yedei Behema, I'm riding the animal, guiding the animal. The animal is separating the offar, into two, making a furrow in the ground. I'm chayev mishum Meleches Charish. And the Ramban says that it's kikli biyad hayotze. Why is that different than Mishasa? Meaning, in the case of Mishasa, the Gemara says, you're potter nezikin, chof gimel, because it's what? It's grum benezikin. You're not going to say kikli biyada yotze. Adarabim, Mishasa sakelev, you're going to call it machamer acher behemto. In the parallel, the mirror image in Shabbos, meaning you're only ma'orer the animal. The animal is doing it on its own. That's called grum benezikin pot. And yet, in the case of Harish al Yedei Behema, you're not willing to say that he's being ma'or the animal to do the Harisha. No, you're saying it's kikli biyada yotze. So what's the difference between Meshases HaBehema, where we say it's grama, and Mechamarach HaBehema, which is grama? And the case of Choresh al Yedei Behemto, which is considered Maisa Ha'adamamish, it's like Kli B'yada Yotzer in the language of the Ramban.
And also Tzad.
Again, in Tzad, we'll get back to Tzad in just a minute, because Tzad fits into a, as the Mishnah Berurah says, a special category. But here, in the case of Meleches Choresh, the Ramban is not going down that path. He's not saying, well, kach darko shel charisha. The Ramban understands that charisha is when a human being actively takes the hoe, the rake, or whatever he uses, and he separates the ground, making the furrows. That's called meleches charisha. The chiddush is, says the Ramban, it can be chayef for charisha al yidei behemta. Why? Because here it's like your behema is a kli biyadecha. Instead of picking up the rake, you're picking up the behema. The behema becomes your rake. I don't mean reish kuv, right? It becomes R-A-K-E. And therefore, yichayv mishum meleches choresh is if you were choresh biatzmecha. You did the maisa harisha. He's not willing to say that it's like tzeda and kach derech hatzayod. And then we say that that Mechamer is different, because Mechamer is not Meleches Hotza, even though the animal is carrying the burden for one Rishon still, because that's called Ma'ores HaBehema. Now, the parallel in the Zikin to Ma'ores HaBehema is Meshases HaKelev, which the Gemara calls Grama Ben Zikin and Yipotim. Now, what's the difference now between Meshases HaKelev, which is called Gorim, i.e., according to the Ramban, you are Ma'ores HaBehema, but now the Behema is Meshase, and the case of Harisha, which is considered Maisa Adam and Kli B'yada Yotzeh.
In one case he's doing what you want, in the other case he's doing what he wants. Now it's true that he may want the same thing that you want, but it's not necessarily your desire that gets done. And the bottom line is it's not up to you. So in Harisha, he's doing you. There is no differentiation between your and his desire. In Mechamer there could be. There could be, okay. But there isn't.
Okay, good. So one second, Gedalia, you're saying the answer, but I just had one little akdama, because I wanted to finish the Chazon Ish. Everything that I've been saying so far is the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says the following, that Harisha is different. Why? Because he says in Harisha, he's machaven es habeima chol eis, and he doesn't let the animal move this way or that way. In other words, what we call, and again, just this is just a slang kind of thing, we call hands-on. You've heard that phrase, you know, it's a hands-on supervision. In my Chumash class this week, we were talking about raising children. So we said there are two ways of raising children. It's hands-on, you know, and you're on top of the child, and everything the child does, you criticize them and so forth and so on. And a mashgiach in a yeshiva, right? You know, catch him al cham. You know, let's catch him while he's tramping, and he's not allowed to be tramping. I remember in Chalvin, when I was a Rebbe Chalvin, that was the main issue. You know, when guys go tramping, you know, that was against the rules. So the mashgiach has to be the one to catch him. You know, well, no, let the guy think that the mashgiach doesn't know what you're doing. That was our assumption. So there's something called a hands-on supervision. The Chazon Ish says that in the case of charish al yedei behema, the behema is totally passive, so to speak. Meaning, you are on top of the animal and controlling its every move. You block its freedom to go this way or to go that way. And as the animal is moving along, you know, the weight of the legs of the animal on the soft ground is going to make a furrow in the ground. It's going to be like a rake. So basically, you're holding on to the rake. The rake here is the legs of the animal as they sink into the ground because of the weight of the animal pushing down. But the animal is not considered the active agent over here. He's the kli b'yad ha-yotzer. Mash'ekeinu m'shaseh. M'shaseh means that the animal is going to attack a human being, Rachmana Litzlan, because of its active agency. You're the ma'orer, you know, you send him to go. In the case of a chamer, you're the ma'orer also, you know, you kick the animal, you know, give him a zetz in the back, and the animal starts moving. But ultimately, the animal moves from place to place, from rishus to rishus on its own. And it has that freedom of movement. So the animal is considered an active agent. So too in the case of m'shaseh. Now this is very interesting to me. I'll tell you why. Because ma'amid beim al komas chavero is chayav, and the Rashba says that's called isho mishum chitza. That's not groma. Groma in Ezekiel is part. So why am I chayav on ma'amid es beim al komas chavero? And I, the thought occurred to me that achila shayni. Let me explain what I mean by achila shayni. In the case of m'shaseh, we know that there are four of us nezikin, correct? And one of them is called Karen, and one of them is called Shame. What's the difference in the Gemara's language, who can tell, between Shame and Karen? Wait, one second. I just want to see if anyone else knows the answer. I mean, I know you learned Bava Kamma well. Does anybody else know? Perek Aleph of Bava Kamma. Jeff, you remember the language of the Gemara?
I remember the language.
You remember the concept?
Yeah.
What was it?
So it's the one of agency going out and doing the destruction.
Oh, so the Gemara says the following: that Karen, when it does the destruction, is kavanoso lahaz, whereas achila shein is called urche pekach. No, we don't know the difference between Shane and Regal, by the way. That itself is a project if you're learning the first parak above a Kama. But what's common to both Shane and Regal is that they really form essentially one kind, one category of masik. They're both urche. So the Gemara considers achila in the case of Shane to be urche, just like halicha is urche. So the animal could either stomp on your tomatoes and destroy them while it's walking, or it could eat your tomatoes. And both are hainu hach in halacha. One is called Shane, one is called regel, but they're all the same. The only difference is that in regel we have something called sroros, but that's not for us. Fundamentally, that's called urche. No, if you've ever seen an animal and there's anything around the animal, and I remember we were once on the way down to the Dead Sea, we stopped to watch some camels. I mean, there's just straw. The camels eat the straw nonstop. They must have very strong muscles. That's the animal eats. Achila for an animal is a very natural kind of response. The animal is not even thinking about it. It's not like the animal made some sort of decision. In Ezekiel, there is such a thing as an animal making a decision. And that's called what? Karen, which is described or defined as Kavanos Olazik. What does it mean kavanos lahasik? It means the animal has a kavanos lahasik. Now, I don't know what the psychologists say about it, but it doesn't interest me. Right now, I'm interested in the halacha. The halacha says kavanos lahasik. And I take that kipshuto, literally. Oh, what's the nafkamina? Here, we have a tremendous nafkamina. Mishases hakelev. That's called kavanos lahasik. The animal bites you, chas v'shalom, and he injects a sera, venom into your body. That's the active agency of the animal. And therefore, grubman is zikin is part. You're the ma'or. Masha enkein, in the case of achila, and that's the case of mamid es behemto, al-komas chavero, that's nature. The animal is not doing anything active as a decision-making process. It's not part of the maisa beima. Even though, again, you'll say, well, the animal is chewing and chewing and chewing and swallowing, but that's not so. There's a teva, there's a nature, which is called urche bekach in the language of the Gemara Bava Kama, which forces the animal, compels the animal to eat. That's nature. That's no different than ruach. It's memela rabosai mamin. Mamin is behemto, al komas chavero is exactly like the case of Zoreh v'ruach mesayato. What do I mean? That if you utilize the forces of nature, that's called kli v'yada yotze, then it's just an extension of your arm. And therefore we consider it your maisa. However, in the case of Meshaser, there the animal makes a decision to belligerently attack the victim, its victim, and therefore it's considered the agency of the animal. And therefore you're only a ma'orer or a gorer. And then we apply all these principles to Hilchos Shabbos. We say the following, that if I take my animal, I put it on top of the goren, on top of the grains, on top of the grass, and the animal eats, then what's happening is, it's like the case of Zoreh, but the only difference is that Yesh Lachalik be Melech Hezriya and Melech Hezkzira. In the case of Melech Hezriya, that's called Darka Bekaf. In the case of Kotzer, Kzira is done Biyad HaAdam. And even though here you're utilizing the forces of Nechal Derech HaTev and the animal's Achilo is considered Urchayu Bekaf, but nevertheless, you're Potter. Why? Because Grama Bishab is Potter. And Grama Bishab is Potter means that if you're utilizing the forces of nature, then you're parted, with the exception of Zoreh, and perhaps Seder, as we'll see. And therefore, in the case of Kotzer, you're going to be potur for Manit. And in terms of Nezikin, Manit is going to be Chayev, because sometimes the forces of nature can be utilized, and therefore we call it Isho Mishum Chitzav, and therefore it's considered your Maisa. And Shabbos, that's not enough, because Shabbos requires an active mice of a fall. And therefore, in the case of Maimid in Shabbos, and even though there's a Melechas Tlish and Melechas Ketzir that's happening here, and it's predictable, but nevertheless, it's not your mice. It's considered grama because you're in a state of menucha. And that's enough for Shabbos. So Shabbos is lekula. Again, let's get the cheshbon in. In Melechas Zoreh, we saw that Liba Blitza Ruach and Nezikin is potur, but in Shabbos, Yechad, because Kach. However, on the flip side, we have a chumra in Shabbos and a kula in Nezikin. What's the chumra in? I'm sorry. On the flip side, we have a chumra in Nezikin, in which the kula in Shabbos. Namely, sometimes in Nezikin, if you utilize the forces of nature, we can consider it as a kli b'yada yotze. That's called isho mishum chitzav, and urchei b'kach is chayav. But it still remains grama as far as Shabbos is concerned. So therefore, if Hamamid Behema Al Gabi Asovim and the animal eats the Asovim, insofar as Meleches Ktsira, like Meleches Kibui, right? Kibui was the paradigm, is grama is mutter. Here too, grama is mutter. Why? Because I'm utilizing the forces of nature. And even though utilizing the forces of nature, Viderach HaTeva is Chayav and Nezikin, it's potter.
Rabbi, if you are able to take the dog and train it professionally so that now it's programmed to do that, would that change the din in the Shaseh Takelev?
Possibly. I mean, that's the Sharat Stadion case. I don't remember all the details of the sugya. You know, what we call, what's that bull called when it fights? I don't know, in the Gemara it's called Sharet Stadion. I don't know what it's called in English. Do you know what I mean? You train the bull to attack. Mm-hmm. And whatever it sees red, it attacks. You've never been to Spain, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you were in Spain, but you didn't go to a bullfight, which I can understand why.
Or you're colorblind.
Yeah, or you're colorblind. In any event, the Gemara has a whole discussion there about what the status is of such an animal. I don't remember the details. I can try to review it for you for next time.
Based on these chronos, it would stand to reason that
maybe that's not called Meshasa and he'd be Chai.
That's
correct. Yeah, maybe okay. He would be Chai for such a thing. And it would become now Isho Mishum Chitza, right. Because that's already programmed into the animal.
You know what's happening, right? Okay.
Now, can somebody do me a favor and open up the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Aloch at the end of Simon Shin Yud Tes? Now, here's a question. I don't know how often you and I end up in a place where there's no Eruv. If you go to Europe, for example, and you spend Shabbos in Spain, if we mention Spain, in Barcelona or in Madrid, wherever you plan to go for your next vacation, obviously you're not going to carry your talis in a bag. And if you wear it, then that's mamash pikuach nefesh. But even if you carry it in the bag, you're violating melechas otso because there's no Erev in Spain, as far as I know. Now again, it could be the Chabad somewhere has their own private Erev, you know, in the back of some Chabad house in Madrid. But basically, the streets of Spain have no Erev. Israelis, by the way, are like mu'adim b'kach.
Right.
I don't know how many times I've had to remind Israelis that, you know, we don't carry on Shabbos. Right. Like, what do you mean we don't carry on Shabbos?
They don't know
what you're talking about.
Phoenix,
that's why
Otsar
is called a malacha grua, right? So I have to remind them that the reason you carry in Israel is because it's an Arab, but that doesn't help you in Madrid. Oh, so now the Mishnah Brura wants to know, if you're in the city of Madrid, are you allowed to spit? Okay, so here's the case. He's Yorek, he spits, and the wind carries his spit 4 amos. And what do you think the Mishnah Brura is going to say about that? If you had to guess. And I'm hoping you'll get the wrong answer, which here is the right answer, but it's really the wrong answer.
He wants to say he's Patur, but he's Chayiv.
The Mishnah Brura says you're Chayiv. And I would have said you're Patur. Why? Because Hotzah is a Malacha classic, you know, it's a classical Malacha, it's Shar Malachas, and the paradigm of Shar Malachas is Kibui, Gram Kibui is Mutter. So what the wind does is Chayiv in Zora, because Zora is Kach Darko Mizriya, but in the case of Hotzah, he's talking about Malachas Mavir Dalanam, it's just a Rabin, and yet he says that you're Chayiv in the case of a Ruach Mitzuya. Again, I'm not entering into the question where he wants his spit to land. That's not relevant to me, but the case that he's describing is where the air, the wind, actually carries his spit. I don't know how, if there's a grogeris there, I don't know that, don't ask me any questions, but that's what he says. And he quotes the Alfei Menashe in the Bir Aloch at the end of Shin Yud Tes, and it's based on a Yerushalmi, which is quoted here by the Ramah, and Harokek Baruach B'Shabbos Baruchach Mefazer Harok Chayev Mishum Zorah. So that I understand. You know, if it's Melechas Zorah, which again, I don't know if you take this literally, but the Yalfi Menashe says that Yechayev Mishum Melechas Hotzah, or Mavir, what we call. Because Zorah is only Shaykh when you remove something from something. You know, you remove the chaff from the husk, from the kernel. Here he's not removing any chaff from the kernel, so the Bir Halacha says that the way the Alfei Menashe interprets this Yerushalmi is that Yechayev Mishum Meleches Hotzah. And the Mishnah Brura actually accepts the Alfei Menashe in this Bir Halacha at the end of the thing. And I found that a little bit odd, because the way we interpreted the Besefer Alfei Menashe appears to Gavonis Yerushalmi Lemavir Dalanam Shesarama Yidea Ruach Well, their grama, kimo Zora. You know, when he said Zora, he was just using Zora as his paradigm, as his archetype of a balacha that's done with the help of the wind, which is called grama. And afilu haki chayev, pili plon, he's chayev. Why? Because in Zora you're chayev, says Yerushalmi, therefore in Hotzah you're going to be chayev. Vehu nachal, erz gerecht. Why is Vahu Nachon? I don't get it. According to the way we interpret the Mishnah Bura, say there was the exception to the rule, you could be chayv with the animal, and even though it's grama, kach derech hatzayadim, who's going to say kach derech mavir? Then when was the last time you wanted to carry something for Amos, so you threw it up in the air so the wind would carry? Ridiculous.
But that's the way that the rope is. So.
No, I'm talking about the malach. We're going back to define 39 malachs. And we're asking whether or not grum is chayv. We have a principle in the Gemara in Kufchav that says that lo tasuka malach grum amut. And we're applying that principle, says the Mishnah Berurah, universally, not just the kibbutz. The Gemara there addresses the case of Gram Kibud, and the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Bir Halacha, Kachhi b'kol ha-malachas, that Grama is mut. Nuk, so the Mishnah Berurah in Seder says that you send the animal and you chai for that Seder. So Mishnah Berurah says, Lo shmishum kach hosafti, this is the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, I didn't write the text, you can't blame me. Mishum kach hosafti, sholosh milim eilu, three words, a kach derech at Seder b'kach, to tell you that it's like Malachas Zoreh. And it's not like all other malachas where you part the mishum grom. So Vosefes Hotzah should be like Zoreh. I don't think that anyone could argue that Hotzah is considered.
Roke is using the wind. Using the wind is what is the.
Again, I can use the wind in all 39 malachas, and I'll be part of the only one malach that I'm chayef for by using the wind is Zoreh, because that's the definition of Zoreh. Okay. You could never achieve malachas Zoreh, which means separating the chaff from the thing without the wind. So that's how you do Zoreh. You're not a farmer.
This is a tolata.
But ask the farmers. I think they'll.
But you could define it as anything that you need
again,
to use the wind.
I'm not going to accept that in any case of any malacha that I do with the help of the wind, I'm going to be chayev. That's not true. In any case that I use the help of the wind, I'm potter in any of the 39 malachas. The only exception is Zoreh. And the reason for that is because kach darko shel zriya. Oh, I wanted to quote to you the Rush. Remember the Mar Makomos on Yom Shlishi? I told you to look at the Rush in Bava Kama. That was on your list here for Yom Shlishi. What number was it? I don't remember anymore. But in any event, I want to just read to you the Lashon of the Rush. He says, okay, does anybody have a Bava Kama? Okay, I just wanted to read to you. Oh, again, it's a long piece in the Rush. This is in Perek HaKones, Simon Yudal. The Rush writes, Kevon de Malacha Zu, he's referring to Zoreh, Ikar Asiyosa al Yidei Aruach. Malacha Zu, Ikar Asiyosa al Yidei Aruach. I rest my case. He's very clear about this, the Rush. That the way that you do Malacha Zoreh is through the Ruach. You can do any Malacha through the Ruach. You can do any Malacha through any sort of machinery and any sort of natural forces. But you're not Chayev because that's called Grama. The wind is Grama. But in the case of Zoreh, says the Rosh, Kave unto Malacha Zu Ikar Asiyos al Yidei Aruach. That's why this Malach has a din.
He explains, the Bir Halacha explains it. Since it's done as he calls it, Adam is considered like karka, and therefore when it comes from Adam as opposed to regular water, this is what he does in the beginning. The wind is splitting up is exactly doing the Zoreh. That's how he says Rabbi Akiva Eger with Broad is mistopic, and then he said with regular water it's not like
okay,
that.
I didn't have time to go through
with broken.
I don't think it's relevant, Toskidali. I was starting with this Alfei Menashe over here. No, the Sefer Alfei Menashe. I know it's in the same one, but I know it's in the same one. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Okay, wait a minute. One second. Ubesefer Alfei Menashe pirsh the kavanah se Yerushalmi shu mavir arba amos b'shus harabim al yidei aruach v'hu al derech grom pirush dikamosh ebezora after aruach misayo, and that makes into what? Grom afilu hach, even though it's grom achayev, and the Mishnah Berurah tells us that that's why Yechayev in Tzedah, because kach derech Tzedah v'kach kein berokeh Davaros al yidei aruach gam kein chayev. Chayev mishum what? Is the Alfei Menashe. Mishum melechas hotzah. Who says that a melechas hotzah is mishum grom? Rabbo said the repercussions of this Alfi Menashe are tremendous. It's not just for a spitter. You know, it's for anyone who carries through Groma. If I carry through Groma, that means I'm Chayef from Leches Otsa.
He says Alder Duma. He doesn't say Groma.
What do you mean Alder?
He says Alder Duma.
The Bera Leches says Ruhu Alder.
Oh, I read it as Groma, right.
He says Alder Duma.
Right. Yeah, but again, Ruach Mesayato is your classical case of Grom. Mm-hmm. Anyone who disagrees with me will have to fight with me after Shia and put up your dukes. The classical case of Grom is Ruach. And that's why Liba the Lipsa Ruach is part of the Zikin. The Gemara says because Rama the Zikin is part of, even though he achieved his purpose through the Ruach. Ruach is Grom. That's Hainuach. The only reason Yechai Mishum Aleches Zoreh is because Kach Derech Zriya B'Kach. And that makes Zoreh the exception to the rule. Now we're going to throw in to this challenge, to Aleches Otzah, now we have three Malachas in this group, according to Mishnah Berurah. Number one, Aleches Zoreh. Number two, Aleches Tzedah. Number three, Aleches Otzah. Aleches Otzah is also Darka Al Yedea Ruach. So Gedalio is telling me, well, that's where you spit. For five.
No, I'm not saying that regarding Hotzah. I'm not coming to justify the Alfi Menashe. I'm coming to justify the Ramah.
I just want to know why the Mishnah Berurah adds those last two words, Vahu Nachon. That's what bothers me. Mm-hmm. In other words, before the Alfi Menashe, you want to tell me Chayav Mishum Aleches Zoreh. So you rack your brain through the Tshuva Zoreh Kiveya and try to figure out why he's Chayav Mishum Aleches Zoreh. The Alfi Menashe was unaware of the Rebbe Kiveya's Chidushim, or he rejected them. And he was of the opinion that Yechayav from Aleches Hotzah. Right? Oh, Shtein Yerushalmi Mishum Zoreh. So he says, just like in Zoreh Yechai from the Ruach, so to an Otzah Yechai from the Ruach. Okay. Forget it. Leave it go. Let's just go on. We have a lot to cover today. I don't want to fight with you guys. You're in a fighting mood today, and that's good. Okay. Fine. Okay. Now let me just try to see where I'm up to here. Where are we up to? The Maamar Komos. We spoke about, let's just review, Maamid Behemal Komos Chavero, he's Chayav in the Zikin, but Maamid Behemto Al Asovim is part of the Shabbos, and the Chazanish says that's a Kula in Shabbos as opposed to the Zikin, because you need the Maisa Ha'odah Mamish in the case of Shabbos, with the exceptions again of those two cases, those two Malachis. Masha Enkin, with regard to Nezikin, we can have a Maisal Pidin when he uses and he utilizes the forces of nature, like the Ruach or the Achilas HaKelev, Achilas HaBeema, and that's called Isho Mishum Chitzav. That's enough to be Miyaches the Maisa to him, but not enough to be Mechayev in Shabbos, because it still remains Grom as far as the Maisa HaOdom before. We saw that the Rosh in Baba Kama says that Zoreh is Iker Asiyos Al Yedea Ruach, and therefore Yechayev, but Gram Kibui Potur is the paradigm, says the Mishnah Berurah, for all Molochs. That's what we saw so far, and therefore the cases of Zoreh and Seder are exceptional cases where the Torah is more Machmer in Shabbos than in Nezikin. But in Nezikin we have a case of Hamadas Behema, where I put my behemoth on top of your koma, that's considered a direct hezek, and the Rashba implements the principle of Isha Mishum Chitzov. But in Shabbos, everything depends upon, says the Chazanish, the Maisa Ha'odom, Leman Yanuach Ksiv. It's not enough that the Maisa is Miyuchas Eilo Mitzad Adin, it's got to be Lo Tase, and it's got to be the opposite of Menucha, Befal Mash. Just one second, Rabosa, you got to give me a little bit of rope here, because you're going to just distract me and I won't be able to finish what I prepared for today. Okay, so let me, this is already Ashlam of what we started on Tuesday, so let me see if I can finish this. Okay then, is that alright? And again, I'm here the whole day, you can always contact me and I don't run away, but just Shia time is very precious to me because I put a lot of work into this. Okay. Now, there's a very interesting tshuva which appears in Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but it appears in many, many different poskim as far as Shvius is concerned. And all this is relevant today because Baruch Hashem, we have Shviyas. I'm not saying it's Doraisa today, but we have Shviyas. And the question is, can you set up an irrigation system in which all you have to do during Shviyas is to press a button and the machine does the rest? It's called, in the language of the poskim, Zriya b'Shviyas b'derach shel grub. Okay, and Hashkos Hazroim b'derach shel grub. This is a fundamental issue. And the chiddush here of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I think, is very relevant to us because it really sharpens a lot of what we said. What do you think, if you had to guess, again, it's a 50% chance to get it right, was he willing to be matirid or was he machni? Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he was the chief rabbi here in Yerushalayim. What was his psak? He was machni. He asked. Why?
The farmers.
He said the following. The pasuk says the following. Sadcha lo tizra kalayim. In Shabbos it says lo tase kol malach. In Shabbos the pasuk starts with the asiyah of the person. And since he did it al yidei grama, and we're talking about zriya, and we're talking about hashkas hazroim, and so on, then he doesn't violate the asiyah of melechus Shabbos. But in Shviyas, the Torah says sadcha, and he says the following, mamish as if he was learning our sugya. He says that in Shviyas, the emphasis is not on the asiyah, but on the totzah, on the sadcha. The sadcha lo tizra kalayim. In other words, you shouldn't set it up in such a way that the sadcha is zaruah, right? And that's the totzah hazriah. So it's not the pu'ula, but the totzah hapu'ula. And I thought this would be very relevant to us because it's a beautiful, I think, a parallel to what we're discussing in the difference between Shabbos when he uses the ruach as opposed to, let's say, for example, the case of Mamid Behemto al Komas Chavero, and he's Chayv Mishum Nezikin, and we apply the principle of Isha Mishum Chitza, because there in Nezikin, what are we trying to be Machayev him for? Not for the Maisa. The Maisa is secondary. It's the Totzos HaMaisa. El Avos, there's a halacha that Grom Nezikin is part of, but if you can set it up in such a way that the Totzos relates to him, then he's chayev here too in Shviyas. Sod chalot tizri kalayim. If you could set it up in such a way that the zriya is related to him, meaning he's the cause of this process that ended up in the sodcha lo tizri kalayim, then he violates these. Now we come back to the Rambam of Tzeda that we started, and the Rambam says that it's not enough that he sends the kelev. But who, Rodef, even he himself is running after the Tzvi, V'yomad b'fon of Vivhilo, Ad shehigia ha-kelev itfos. So I thought that let's go back to basics. The Ramban makes the distinction here, quoted by the Chazon Ish, between the case of Choresh al-Yidei Behemto, where he's kovesh as a behemot tachas yado, and therefore reshuso hu omedes, he's controlling the animal, and he doesn't let the animal go this way and that way. That's kekli b'yada yotzer. It's not like the case of mechamer where he's just ma'orer. So what would you say about a hunting dog? Yesh lachko. Anybody here in this room interested in hunting? Thank God, no. We leave that for Esau. There's a whole tshuva, by the way, in the Noda Yehuda. Somebody asked him about hunting. Yeah. He said, that's not the Derech Yehuda. You know, he says, that's for the Bnei Esau. Yeah. Okay, fine. So we're not hunters. But if you're into art, by the way, especially British art, unbelievable how many thousands of paintings you'll find in the museums about hunting. You know, the dogs that they... It's not just England, but...
Hounds,
yes. So my question to you is the following. How do we classify a hunting dog? Is it a machamer case, in which case you're just the ma'orer and the animal does it, or no? This is a case like the harisha, where you're machaving the animal, you don't let it move, you're there and supervising it at every step. We had the case of Mishasa, we came to the conclusion that based on the sugya nezikin and the vav of the base, Mishasa is considered groma, because the animal is the active agent. We said that in the case of Harisha, the animal is passive, and therefore he's like Kekli B'yada Yotzer. Machamer, once again, the animal is passive. So where do you classify, how do you classify hunting? A hunting hound, a hund.
It depends, I guess, if it's on your leash or you're letting it go. Because
well, I think you're going to have to let it go here. He seems to be assuming the roundup that, you know, the animal is going in this direction, you're running after the tzvi in the other direction, you somehow trap the animal, in which case that now the kelev gets it.
That goes back to my question on Mishaseh. This is exactly the Mishaseh.
Oh, so Lechora, this is the case of Mishaseh, meaning this is a case where the animal is operating on its own.
Or it's its temper.
Wait, just give me 1 second. The animal is operating on its own. The animal decides to do the Melechus Tzedo, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If the animal is just being activated when I'm Mishalech the animal, it's mamish like the Mishasa case, this would be Groma. Which means that he, the tzad, I mean the human being who's the tzayad, right? He's doing the tzedah. He's really totally passive. Not totally passive because he's activating the animal, but it still remains groma. In other words, why not compare this case of tzedah to the case of machamer, which is a ma'ores animal? Why compare it to the case of chorich?
Because it's because
what was the Rambam's answer, Alan?
He trained the animal. So
no. That's not the animal. You want to give your own answer, that's the same. But I want to give the Rambam's answer. The Rambam's answer is a different answer. And the Rambam says that he himself is blocking the freedom of the animal. And that's why, again, I'm adding this, that's why it's similar to the case of Chorish al Yidei Be'emto.
So is it like in Tzamtzam?
It's like a Mitzamtzim case. He doesn't let him go free. He's blocking the animal. He scares the animal. The animal stops dead in its tracks, and boom! Just at that moment, the kelev is toe-faced the tzvi. So what I'm suggesting here is that what does the Rambam want to accomplish here by this partnership? The Rambam wants to establish that this case of tzedah is similar to the case of Chorish al Yidei Be'emto. And we don't need then to implement the Mishnah Berurah's principle of Kach Derech Hatzayon. Forget about Kach Derech Hatzayon. Even in terms of our definitions of Grama versus Kli V'yada Yotzer, in Hilchos Shabbos, for example, take Melechus Harisha, which is classically Choresh V'yada Adam, and yet he's Chayef for Choresh Ayad Be'ema, and the Ramban says, and maybe the Rambam holds like the Ramban, that the reason you're chayv mishum choresh for chay gavn is because it's no longer grama. You're not just being ma'or in the animal to do the charisha. The animal is not going to be interested in the charisha. But rather, you're machaving the animal and you block the animal in every direction. That makes it into kekli b'yada yotzer. Maybe the Rambam holds like that Ramban, and therefore he wants to set up a mechanics, a definition of called kli b'yada yotzer. When is the kelev considered a kli b'yada yotzer? If the person himself controls the behemoth and facilitates the ability of the animal to be tofes es hatzvi, right? The kelev to be tofes hatzvi.
Why isn't he? He should be over inside right then on his own. He doesn't even eat the.
No, he's still a grub because who grabs the animal, as we said over and over again? It's the kelev.
But he's preventing its freedom.
But I'm asking, how do we how do we traverse the gap between grubba and kli v'yada yotzer? And here's where the Rambam sets up this beautiful mechanics here, this vision of a shituf pa'ula here, of a partnership between the kelev and the adam. Where is the paradigm for that? The Ramban sees it in Choresh al Yidei Be'emto. And he's chay for Melechus Choresh. And why is he chay for Melechus Choresh? Because it becomes Gikli B'yada Yotzer. The choresh, right? The human being is using the animal as a stick, as a rake, right? To create the furrows. Here also, in the case of tzedah, if I can control the animal, then my control over the animal makes it as if the animal is kelev is kekli b'yada yotzer. So that's what I wanted to suggest.
But he doesn't accept.
Just 1 second. And therefore, just to finish up what I'm saying, the Rambam wants to know, why is the kelev any different in the case of tzedah than a case of a chamer. In the case of a chamer, I'm not chayev for melechas hotzah, even though I sent the animal running, you know, with my patch that I gave him, and he's carrying a burden. Why, the Rambam wants to know, is the case of tzedo not the same as meshase, which we said the meshase is considered grama b'nezikin, the animal. In other words, in the Rambam's frame of reference, the halamin of the Rambam is that why should we be mechalik between meshase and tzad? You know, why is the animal less of an active agent in the case of trapping and hunting than it is in the case of biting and what word am I looking for? Meshase, when he sinks his paw, you know, his pet. What's called fangs? Is that the word? Fangs? Mm-hmm. His teeth? And the Rambam's answer is that you're right, that I have to still work very hard to upgrade the case of Tzvi to the case of Choresh al Yidei Behema. And how do I fill in that gap? The Rambam says it's by standing and blocking the animal to allow the Kelev, the animal meaning the Tzvi, to allow the Kelev to grab onto the Tzvi.
But obviously, if you wouldn't stand,
I assume so. I haven't researched it in the Sefer HaLikutim here in the back of the Frankel Rama.
So he doesn't accept Rashi's Gisha.
Correct. Correct. And that's why the Ramban says that you're chayef for Choresh al Yidei Behema. As long as we can set up a Harisha which is Biyad HaAdam, then that's not called Groma. If it's not called Groma, I don't have to come on to Rashi's principle of Kach Derech HaMalach. It's no longer Groma. Ruach is Groma. That you'd have to trust me on. You know, as far as Rekika, I don't want to get into that again because I see that spinning is a very sensitive topic here. But what I'm suggesting is that in the case of an animal, that would be Groma. If the animal is what we call Kavanos Lahazik, he's a Karen, that's a belligerent, active animal. So the Rambam therefore says, how can you be chayef for tzedo? He doesn't have the answer to the Mishnah Berurah, kach derech hatzayadim. So he answers that you have to introduce the shituf pula, the active participation of the Adam, and that makes it into kli biyada yotze. Now Tosfos at the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, who asked me about was it you, Alan, who asked me about putting out traps?
Yeah,
that was you. So I wanted to get to Tosfos. Excuse me. Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Ayin Shom, there are many different ways of reading this Tosfos. But anyway, the simple pshat in Tosfos is that you're not chayev for putting out a mitzuda on Shabbos for Melechus Seder unless it was nitzod b'shah sheheniach es ha-mitzuda. But nitzodu liachar zman potu. You with me so far? So I was wondering, I don't get it. If tzeda is kach darka shel tzeda, as we saw in Rashi, that means that you chayev, even though it's grama, in universal terms this would be grama, you put out a trap, right? That's gram tzeda, but nevertheless gram tzeda is chayev, it's not like gram kibu because kach darka melocha. So what difference does it make whether tzeda happens immediately or liachar zman? It's less of a derech tzeda makach. What is it? Every tzad knows exactly when to capture the animal, put out the thing and the trap, and presto. How do you say it? Presto. I don't know. It used to be a word that we used to use.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one.
Oh, it was presto, the stuff that they put on the fish the other night.
No, that's pesto.
Oh, that's pesto. Okay. So we're talking about pests, and he captures the pest presto.
Yeah. Right.
Pest presto. Okay. Whatever it is. I thought that maybe this Tosfos belongs to the school of thought of the Ramban / the Rambam of Melechus Tzedo, namely that we can upgrade Tzedo to the level of Kli B'yada Yotzer and make it into a Maisa V'yadayim, and it's not Grama like the case of Choresh Al Yidei Mehema. And how do we do that? If that's our goal, to try to justify why trapping with a, you know, putting out a malkodah, why you chayv for that Melechus Tzedo when it's Grama called Torah Kulo. And my answer is that it's not Grama. Again, Rashi would say the answer is derech tzedel lekach, and I would insist that according to Rashi, you're chayav whether the tzed is immediate or it happens a month later. Okay, you have to know whether it has to happen on Shabbos, so that's a different question. That has to do with Zoreah. You remember that Hashrosha?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. There's a Yushalmi that seems to say the Yechai for Bishul, even though the Bishul took place after Shabbos. Okay, that's wild stuff. But be that as it may, let's say the trapping took, you know, he put out the trap on Friday night, and the animal got trapped on Shabbos lunchtime, you know. And Rashi would say, Yechai, of course, Kach Derech Tzedek Kach. But the Rabbim, Tosa says not like that. Tosa says, gotta be immediate. You know, Bishol Sheiniach as a Matzot. Why? The answer is that if the animal immediately, you know, enters into the tzeder, you could say it's my maisa. You know, then you could say that the kli that I'm using is a kli miyada yotze. I grabbed onto the animal, even though physically I didn't grab onto the animal, but I put the trap in such a way that the animal's going to fall right into the trap. That's already no longer grown. And it's fascinating to me because Rabosai in the halacha, you remember we spoke about mechamayim and you know, by taking out water, you're heating water, or you're activating the thermostat. The poskim talk about when it's going to happen. Is it going to happen immediately or liachar zman? And I was wondering why. I mean, Modashak, if it's grum, it's grum. If it's not grum, it's not grum. The answer is that sometimes you can change grum into a mice of your dime if it happens immediately. Of course, if it happens immediately, I'm in control. I'm the balabas. I'm the boss. Okay, think about that. But now, I wanted to ask you the following question. I can understand... Just 1 second. Let's open up to Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Hei. We were looking at Halacha Chaf Beis. Now let's fast forward to Halacha Chaf Hei. I'm going to ask you the following question. And hopefully you give me the wrong answer, which is the right answer. Are you allowed to trap something on Shabbos? And what's your answer?
No.
No. There is a case where you're allowed to trap something on Shabbos. Halacha chafet. And it's even mutal l'chatchil. No, it has nothing to do with danger. I mean, danger is a factor here because it's going to tell me why he's trapping the animal. But it's not a danger in the... you know, in the sense of a chai b'hem v'lo sheyomos b'hem. Rumosim ha-mazikim could go nechoshim v'akrom v'chayotze b'hem achol pisha eno m'mbisim. You know, the Rambam is telling you, forget about v'chai b'hem. That's not the relevant factor. But hol v'noshtim, you know, these are really pests, you know, to understate the thing. Mutar lotzer otzom v'shabes. After all these halachas about tzedah, the Rambam says there are cases where you're allowed to do tzedah. And I think at this point the Rambam is going to try to calm us down and try to figure out why you're allowed to do tzedah. If it's not pikuach nefesh, we don't violate the Shabbos for, you know, for some sort of a problem, you know, a nuisance, even though, you know, there are cases maybe where it's, you know, if you... The post can talk about certain injuries that might lead to pikuach nefesh, but the Rambam says not like that. The Rambam says that the issue is a different issue. He's not interested in trapping the animal. He's not a zookeeper. He's not selling serpents or scorpions, you know, to the local zoo to make a parnasa from it. That's not his business. You know, he has a different business. So what's his interest? But who she's commonly not so many shichasam. You know, from his perspective, if these guys would just evaporate, he would be very happy. What's that called, Rabos, in the Sechta Shabbos, in terms of Sechta Shabbos, when he's not interested in the purpose of the malach? Again, he wants to trap the animal, but why does he want to trap the animal? He's no interest in taking the animal, like the tchoshim, in order to skin them and use them as for the arias of the Mishkan. That's called a malach shen tzricha legufa. Frekta bagin mishnah. The Rambam paskins in Perek Aleph like Rabbi Yehuda, malach shen tzricha legufa is chayav. How can he possibly matir tzedah? I want to add another question here. The Rambam says, Ketzad hu osei. The Hersa Vaisa, the Rambam is now writing an instruction book, a guide to Tzedas Nechashim. Kofer Kli Alehem. O Makif Alehem, O Kosher Kadesh Lo Yaziku. The Rambam gives me three alternative methods of capturing these creatures. Very strange. So the Magid Mishnah has a whole new pshat in this Rambam. And he says that the Rambam could not accept the Sugya Daf Kuv Zayin that says that Tzedes Nochash is Mutter, Rav says it's Mutter on Shabbos because Rav holds like Rav Shimon Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Potter. So Rambam came up with his own idea, according to the Magid Mishnah, as to why Tzedes Nochash is Mutter on Shabbos. And the Hersta Maisa, it's Mutter because it's a Shinui Shalom Kedark. And that's why the Rambam adds the Ketzad. The Rambam is looking for ways that are unusual in capturing these animals. You know, the professional animal catchers know how to do it. You do it like an amateur. You know, the kfias kli. I'll tell you why I have a problem with this Magid Mishnah. The Rambam says, Vahushi is kaven li notzel minishichosa. The Rambam tells me, by implication, that if he didn't have that kavana lihinotzel minishichosam, he would be chayv in this very case. How could you tell me, Rabbi Magid Mishnah, that the reason he's potter here, and then we're going to be matur mishum tzar, the reason he's potter is because it's shalom kedarka? What do you mean shalom kedarka? If it was shalom kedarka, why is the Rambam saying you're chayv unless you have the kavana lihinotzel minishichosam? Meaning, the Rambam is telling me the following, that in hilchas tzedah, you're chayv. There is a malachas tzedah, but the reason why you're not chayav is because you had a different kavana. Fact of Magid Mishnah, a very justifiable question, but the Rambam holds that Lach Shein Tzrich L'Guf is chayav. So here, I would like to put the Magid Mishnah on the side and tell you what Reb Chaim in the Sefer, how he interprets this Rambam. And he says that the Rambam has in mind a whole different principle. Has nothing to do with Shalom Kedarka, has nothing to do with Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, but rather Dover Shein Miskav. And the Rambam paskins that even though Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is chai, but Dover Shein Miskav is potter. And if it's potter, then Mishum Tzar it's mut in this case. Ribbono Shel, I don't understand. I never understood Reb Chaim, but certainly this Reb Chaim I don't understand. I pray all my life that I should understand Reb Chaim, but what do you mean he's not miskaving? Dover Shein miskaving? That's what the Rambam is talking about here? He's not miskaving for tzedah? Well, what is he doing over here? He's trying to capture the animal, is he not? You ask me what the purpose of his doing it, that's one thing. Now, if the Rambam would tell me, do it in a way where maybe the animal wouldn't be trapped, that would be a Dover Shein miskaving. But here, He's taking a kli and he's trapping the animal. Ribbono Shel Olam, that's what Satan is all about. In other words, we have a principle here called psik reish. You know, you cut off the head of a chicken. Don't tell me you're not killing the chicken. Who are you fooling? You're putting a kli on top of the top of the nachash, and you're telling me that's a dover shein miskavet. I had no kavanah for tzedah. So what were you doing here? What time is it now? Alright, still a few minutes. So I wanted to present to you a thesis of Reb Shimon Shkop in a different context and see if we could apply it here. Reb Shimon says the following in Shari Yosha. What is a Dover Shein Miskav? Why are you potter in a Dover Shein Miskav? He says the following. You're dragging chairs through the ground, right? Benches, chairs, kisei v'safsol, and you're making charitzim. But you're not miskaving to make charitzim. So for Melechas Choresh, you had no kavanah. Says Rav Shimon, with one action, he's doing two mice. Now, as the halacha jumps in here, it says that there's a shame mice. What's a shame mice? Mice is a physical act. Why do you call it a shame? So Rav Shimon says it's a halachic category called a mice. In this case, and in every case of a dor shein miskavi, there are two mice. There's a shame mice and another shame mice. There's a shame mice of hovala, of greiras hakisei asafsol, and there's a shame mice of asiyas charitz. Rabbosa, this is a very profound concept. I can't impress upon you. We discussed it in Elul. This is what we call teeth teeth. You know, this has to come from tells, you know. Says Rav Shimon, which mice is he doing? What do you mean, which mice is he doing? I know which mice he's doing. He's doing both mice. No. There's a halacha of a shame mice. And the halacha now asks the question, which mice is nikra al shmo? Which ezem asemet yachesed? And what's the answer? What factor will determine which of those two mice? His kavod. Says Rav Shimon, but if it's a psik ratio, then we collapse the distinction between these two mice and they become one mice. You can't tell me that you're cutting off the head of the chicken because you want the head and you're not killing the chicken. Cutting off the head of a chicken is killing a chicken. So therefore it's one mice and you had come on it for that mice and therefore it becomes a dor shein miskavi. Again, he's not really miskavid in the sense that he wants it to happen. You know, maybe he'll tell you, I would rather the chicken stayed alive, and then we have the Yeshiva Sahara about segregation of lethal. But whatever it is, he is killing the chicken. And there's no doubt about it. And there's no doubt about it that his kavanah is for one mice because there's only one mice. You can only split the one mice into two shemos. If it's not a segregation, it may happen, it may not happen, there's a possibility of separating them. But in the case of segregation, you can't separate them. So then, Rav Shimon asks the following kasha. The Ran says that in Isurei Hanor, you're chayav for a dover sheni miskaven. I'm sorry. In Isurei Hanor, you're potter for a dover sheni miskaven, even if what?
Yeah.
Even if it's a segregation. So what's the case? He's walking down the street and he smells the reich of Avodah Zorah. This is a sugi b'sechta p'sachim adach chof hei, and that's called Hanah Shebalo Liyonah Bal Korcho. He doesn't want to smell and enjoy the incense coming from the idol of the temple, but he has no choice. You know, the smell is in the air and it goes into his nose. So the Ran says, what's going on here? This is a psik ratio. He knows for sure, that's the assumption of the Ran, and we know for sure that when he walks down that road, that path, he's going to enjoy the benefits of Avodah Zorah. A man who's selling garments, and the garments have shatnez kalayim in them, he's miskaven just to take the garments from place to place. And he's not miskaven mipnei akshamim, you know, to be protected. So he doesn't have kavanah of hanos levisha. Frek the Ran, but it's a psik ratio. Already he's not miskaven. But he knows it's going to protect him if it rains. If it's a cold day, it's going to warm him up. Says the Ran that in Isurei Hanor, you're potter even for a psik ratio. Frek Rav Shimon, I don't understand. He's got here Hanor with a psik ratio, and therefore it's a dovra miskavin. How could he potter? Says the Rav Shimon, there's a difference between Isurei Hanor and all other isur. In Isurei Hanor, he's chayav for taking the Hanor, for enjoying the Hanor. The kavan itself defines the avera of Isurei Hanor. The fact that he's miskavin to enjoy, that's the violation of Isurei Hanor. Here, you can tell me that psikresha makes it halachically into one maisa, and therefore he's miskavin. No, he wasn't miskavin. Why? Because Hanor means a Hanor that I take for myself. And here I'm not interested in Hanor. Rabbosai, this chiddush of Rav Shimon in explaining the Ran in Isuri Anor is exactly what the Rambam is saying in Meleches Tzedek. Who could fill in the blanks? What is Meleches Tzedek? Just that the animal be nitzol?
Anor.
Not exactly Anor. I don't want to call it Anor. I'm going to call it, for lack of a better word, Hishtaltut. How would you translate that to English? To control, to take the animal. Dominion. Right? Uredubit Gasayom. That's Tzedek. You want to take and control the animal? That's not Shabbos. But it's your kavod to take the animal that defines Meleches Tzedek. That's the essence of what Tzedek is all about. So it's true, Rav Shimon is right, that in a case of two shemas, if it's a psikresha, it becomes one shame, and he's miskaven for that maisa. There's only one maisa. Yeah, he's miskaven in the halachic sense, but he doesn't want that maisa. He has no interest in controlling the animal. Is memela? I begin to understand the sugya of kaveris. The Gemara says that if he puts a machzelis over the beehive, that even though he knows he's trapping the bees, he's not chayev ribono shel olam. What about a dovah sheni miskaven with a psikresha? The Torah goes very far with this. The Torah says that if you know there are flies inside the house and you're locking the door and there's no window for the flies to go out, you're allowed to lock the door. Ribono shel olam. It's insane though. He's trapping the zvuvim. He doesn't even leave them a window to go through. But the answer is he has no kavana to take the flies. He's not a fly catcher. And therefore, that's not called Meleches Tzedek. That's what the Rambam means to say over here. Reb Shimon's Vart is right here in the Rambam. Vahushi is kavingly not somebody to shichasam. He has no interest in taking the serpent. He's not going to sell it on the open market, you know, the serpent market. And therefore, even though we know that when he's kofra aleihem es hakli, he's doing a maisa tzedek, but that's not called meleches tzedek. It's called a maisa tzedek. But for meleches tzedek, I need kavana. Why do I need kavana? Because otherwise, that's not called dominion. That's not called control. The lekichas animal nachash, that's considered meleches tzedek. But if you're not interested in the nachash, that's not meleches tzedek. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop here. I wish everyone a great Shabbos. I won't be here in this neighborhood this Shabbos. But we'll be celebrating Sheva Brachos in Mitzvah Hashem in Har Nof. If anyone wants to join us, just walk. It's a bit of a walk from here, but we don't have any more houses to put you up in. But we've covered all our guests. So everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
Can I ask you a very basic question on Tzedek?
Okay. Yeah.
You have it. I'm going to start with the ridiculous basic, but I'm going to do it fast. So before you start,
I can use the washroom and prepare
myself. Animal in a fenced-in area with there's a gate. If you close the gate, you're over on Seda.
Yeah. Because right now the animal has freedom.
It could go out. Right. Okay. Now you have.
What if you're standing there?
That's right. Now you have the same situation. There's no gate. There's you're standing in the way there.
Right. That's a mishnah. Okay. Going to come up a little later on.
That's Seder also.
Well, no, it depends. If he walks over there, that's called Seder. But if he was there. Right? If he was there and he happened to be there for whatever reason,
no, I don't mean
then
that.
He doesn't have to move away.
I'm saying, you know, he can remain. Kavani, he went there.
If Kavani went there, that's called Seder.
Okay, right? So what I want to know now is, now the case that the Rambam brought down,
yeah. Now
you're running after this deer, and the caliph is coming after him, and you stand in the way and stop him from going any further. Why are you not over yourself?
Because at this point you can't grab on to the animal.
You don't have to grab him. You're preventing him from getting away, and the dog is for all intents and purposes is a fence all the other direction. He can't run in that direction because he's going to get
right. But again, in the case where you're standing there and the walls yeah. trap the animal, so I can't say that the walls are trapping the animal. I can only say you're trapping the animal. Yeah. You understand? The human intervention is what clinches the tzeder. Mashenkin, in the case of the kelev, the actual act of tzeder is being done by the kelev.
Yeah,
so the Rambam has that problem. He's saying, wait a minute, I may have facilitated.
He's not accepting your premise.
Yeah, well, that's what you're.
Until he catches him.
What I'm saying is the fear of the animal makes the animal as if he's the fence.
Right. At the end of the day, he can only have access or control over this animal because of the mice of the kelev.
No, but
if not for the mice of the kelev, he would not be able to successfully achieve tzeder.